And let me say that CERN, if to truly understand what CERN is on its face, not going any deeper than a superficial level, and I don't mean to be insulting by what I'm about to say, but if you really take a good look at CERN and you watch their videos and you watch the documentaries on CERN and you listen to a lot of the scientists speaking from CERN, which I have, you realize very quickly that CERN is the largest aggregate of nerds on the planet. Bizarre individuals, really, really weird people. They are not, many of these people are not normal human beings. And again, I don't mean that to slight them. They're just obsessed with particle physics. So they're not even in a position, to be honest with you, Josh, they're not even in a position themselves, even though they work in CERN, they're not even in a position to evaluate whether or not CERN has occult connections because they're biased. They're absolutely, it's a very closed community. And these are some of the most bizarre people you've ever seen in your life. Because especially the theoretical physicists, man, I tell you what, I've read their work and I've listened to them speak, and they're borderline insane. And so people need to understand that too, because we often think that science is some hallowed, holy thing that involves people whose minds are far too intelligent for us to even be able to comprehend. They're on a whole nother level. They're on these pedestals that society has come to worship them, these great scientific minds. And a lot of what scientists do is very laudable, and they are brilliant people, absolutely brilliant people. But at the same time, just because they're brilliant, just because they work at CERN, just because they went to Harvard and Oxford and all these other Ivy League schools, does not mean that they are in any position whatsoever to evaluate whether or not their work is going to be used for occultic ends. Okay, for all those people, skeptics out there who have been slamming guys like us, Josh, who talk about CERN and occultic connections. So who are the people who are behind the scenes, who are wanting to maybe open gates, unlock wormholes and peer into different dimensions? Well, the short answer is there's a human faction I think it's quite obvious there's a human faction. There's a non-human faction, but that non-human faction is related to the human faction. And then there's a faction that is not related to the human faction at all, which you might consider to be a, let's just call it a fallen angelic faction. So there's pieces and parts that involve different kinds of entities, as strange as that may sound. On a human level, you've got the usual players. You've got, of course, what has been known as NWO, New World Order, the Illuminati, these groups, which when you get to the true, when you get to the core of who they are, they're priests. A lot of them are Luciferian priests. A lot of them are involved in the mystery schools. All of them are involved in the mystery schools at the higher levels. The mystery schools are nothing more than the teachings of the fallen angels. And when I say the teachings of the fallen angels, I'm not just talking about some kind of New Age teaching. We're talking about blueprints. We're talking about schematics. We're talking about technology. We're talking about hidden knowledge. We're talking about physics. We're talking about mathematics. We're talking about geological stuff. That's the kind of information that the mystery schools have. It's not just information concerning, again, New Age kind of things. It's not just satanic stuff, and it's not just mythical stuff. We are talking about nuts and bolts technology that the mystery schools, they have the information. They know where certain things are buried. They know where certain things, certain places on the earth are connected to certain things, are connected to certain entities. So that's that faction, the human level, the priests of power, if you like, the Luciferian priesthood, which absolutely exists. And then you've got the non-human aspects, which involve what I believe are entities that are not fully human, but are related to the human race, that are involved. And ultimately, again, on the top level, you have, of course, the devil. I think everybody who believes in the Bible is quite aware of the fact that Satan is called, Jesus called him the ruler of this world or the ruler of this age. He's obviously involved at the highest level. I go through a list of six different theoretical possibilities, and there are a lot more than just six, but I go through six of the more common ones, which are that the activities of CERN are going to lead to either all of the following or one of the following or some of the following. The first one being black holes, which is the famous, the most famous concern regarding CERN, that has been made famous by people such as Stephen Hawking and people who are of a highly qualified scientific pedigree, such as Stephen Hawking. But you also have antimatter, the issue of antimatter and antimatter weapons, which is a very real concern, although not according to the scientists at CERN, because according to them, they cannot contain enough antimatter particles to do anything really useful with them yet. But one thing that we also need to understand, along with the technological imperative that we talked about before to have a rational view here, is that technology is developing and is progressing exponentially and has been for many years. And Ray Kurzweil breaks this down and makes it very evident that almost every realm of technology, especially information technology, but almost every realm of technology, including particle physics, and certainly quantum physics, is progressing exponentially. And so even though right now they claim at CERN that they can only contain a very small amount of antimatter, and they can, they admit to being able to be able to contain antimatter for 15 minutes. This comes from their own publications. They can contain it for 15 minutes, and they can contain, I don't remember the figures, it's a very minuscule amount of antimatter, but the fact is they can contain antimatter for 15 minutes within CERN. I believe within, I might be wrong, but I think within the Atlas device connected to CERN, but I may be wrong on that. So antimatter is a real concern for anybody that has any knowledge about the way that the military-industrial complex takes these theoretical ideas and then takes the first working models, takes that technology underground, incorporates it into technology that we already have that most of us are not aware of, and suddenly you talk about an exponential growth, progression of that technology. The military-industrial complex can take the technology that CERN is producing and within 3 years be light years ahead of CERN. That's another component people have to be aware of. You also have particle beam weapons, which particle beam weapons are a fact of life. I mean, we've already got the military has our military. I believe our Navy has already demonstrated particle beam weapon technology that we have deployed on some of our battleships right now. We can direct particle beams. Right now, we can direct a stream of particles moving at high energies at aircraft. That's well known. That's already being deployed on the battlefield. And of course, that's what CERN does. CERN directs beams of particles and smashes them together. So the research at CERN is only going to magnify the potential of particle beam weapons. By the way, particle beam weapons, which are sometimes called high energy weapons, but higher energy weapons can also involve lasers. Particle beams are different. Particle beams actually use particles, subatomic particles or atomic particles, to tear things to pieces at the molecular level. So it's like basically the bird shot of a shotgun shell, ripping through a target, a paper target or something like that. That's kind of what particle beam weapons do, but at a much, obviously much higher velocities, near the speed of light. So particle beam weapons it's widely believed. In fact, I believe that part of our arsenal against some of the unidentified craft, which a lot of it is identified at this point, flying around out there, we actually have some weapons that we're using to bring some of that stuff down. And one of the purported weapons are kinds of weapons are particle beam weapons. It's rumored that under the United States, there's an underground accelerator whose sole purpose is to accelerate particles to be able to direct them up into the atmosphere to shoot down flying saucers, for lack of a better term. So that's very interesting. There's a lot involved there. Of course, there's time distortion in stargates, which is a big deal, that even the scientific community believes that possibly time can be distorted. Stargate wormhole, a portal can be opened. Einstein's Rosen Bridge, which I believe there's other ways to open those stargates too. But certainly, quantum physics is part of the equation, and then CERN also would have the capability of opening a stargate, and you know, there's some people who believe that. And then the DNA sequencing, I find very interesting. The DNA sequencing and artificial synthesis. I had no idea that particle colliders were used to produce the X-ray or whatever it was that was able to penetrate into the cell and actually view the genome. I didn't know that. That was new information to me. Fascinating stuff. But finally, what really concerns most researchers who take a good look at CERN are strangelets. Josh, you could probably talk for hours and hours and hours on strangelets, but strangelets are really scary because theoretically, strangelets are the most explosive substance in the known universe. And I thought strangelets were theoretical, although a lot of scientists actually still think they're theoretical. They're not. We can actually produce the quark gluon plasma within certain facilities, including the one, the Brookhaven National Laboratory on Long Island. It's even more amazing to consider that behind the scenes, a lot of the stuff that is theoretical and only exists on the chalkboards of these theoretical physicists has already been developed into working technology in the underground bases and is flying around in the atmosphere. So we have to also, that's another piece of rationale that we have to add into this, is to just take a logical approach and convince ourselves that the military-industrial complexes of the world are always going to be way ahead of whatever information might be available in the public arena, and that's just a given.